Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the 16-Bit Catholic. I am your host, Dustin Faber, and I'm here from yourholyfamilyradio.com, recording this. It's actually not on the web, but they're kind enough to loan me the studio to record these podcasts. So the least I can do is plug their work. But if you listen on Saturday mornings, you'll get to hear me read the weather for Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So if you're anxious to see what weather is going to come our way, I suggest you do that. Tonight on the show, we are joined by Anthony Buono. Anthony Buono is in charge of AveMariaSingles.com, and he has been featured on Lino Rulli's Catholic Guy Show giving dating advice. If you visit AveMariaTrips.com, you can read more about a pilgrimage he has scheduled to the city of Rome for the month of October, with seats still available. And he has a new book coming, should be released late summer, August preferably, called Would You Date You? From Servant Publications. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me on the 16-Bit Catholic tonight. How's your day going?
My pleasure, Dustin. Thank you. It's going well, thank you.
How's the weather your way? It's cold and rainy here.
Yeah, rainy, trying to get through it, but, you know, we need the rain, so
that's that. Well, speaking of rain and stormy weather, your book that's coming out, Would You Date You?, giving people advice on dating. I'll be honest with you, there are a gajillion books on dating on the market right now. Everything from Christian to, you know, secular to even sometimes humorous. The Worst Case Scenario Guide for Dating and Sex is one of my favorite books. What kind of spin are you putting on your book to make it stand out a little bit more, Anthony?
Well, I agree with you, Dustin. In fact, it's been one of my pet peeves that there are so many books out there, and a lot of them, I would say most of them, come from the precept of like a how-to, you know, how to catch the perfect man, or how to get the great woman, and how to this, how to that, and it's all about reaching out to find that other person and how to do it, and some of them are self-help books, and I think what angers me the most about these books is that they tend to sound so absolute about subject matter that has to do with subjective realities as well as mysteries. Subjective in the sense that, you know, not everything that works for me would work for you, you know, in dating someone or trying to find someone. And certainly not the next guy or the next guy. We're all unique persons, and we all have our unique journey here in relationship with God, and we all have a unique experience of how the Holy Spirit leads us, and that also applies to how we meet people and interact with them. So I do resent a lot of books that just try and make you say, if you do this, then this will happen, and you'll be happier. Again, no, it's kind of ridiculous in that sense. And the other aspect is the mystery that is love. So I do have a problem when people say that if you do this, then that will happen, or you should have this happen by a certain age, by a certain place, in a certain place, and things like that.
Love is a mystery. It is a mystery how two people end up together. In so many ways, it's not even funny, you know. So all of us, I tell people all the time, so many of us have people in our lives where we say, how could those two have ended up together? It just doesn't seem to make any sense. You know,
yeah.
It's a perplexity to us, but it's a mystery to them. And love is a mystery. God is love. God is a mystery. Therefore, why shouldn't how two people come together be a mystery?
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is, my book does not try to convince people that I have some kind of upper hand knowledge that they don't, and if they follow some advice, they're going to meet somebody. My book approaches the person of yourself and tries to get you to ask yourself, what do I have to offer someone in the dating process, in love, in marriage, in parenting? You know, we're all so so anxious to meet someone, fall in love, and get married. But, you know, are we really somebody that the person we're hoping will meet us and love us? Are we someone that they're anxious to meet and will be attracted to? So my book works at some very concrete fundamentals on what, as a Christian, as a Catholic, if you want to meet someone who is a quality individual, quality Catholic, someone who's seeking God and is also an interesting person, and it will be a suitable partner for you, the specifics of you, there are very fundamental core things that we should be addressing within ourselves, focusing on ourselves, that will help that bottom line.
I'm glad to hear that you mentioned unique and individual, because when I was trying to, you know, date people, you know, as pathetic as my attempts were, I looked at most of those books and, you know, I would even, you know, read some and get advice. But the one thing I found out immediately was, you know, that these books are, they're just a broad overview. Like I couldn't find half the time where the advice would apply to the person that I was dating, because each person is so unique. And how do you write a book about each and every person, you know, in this world to date? You really can't. So to hear you focusing on individual and uniqueness is kind of refreshing, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I definitely, my approach to writing and giving advice tends to be in the area of food for thought. There are definitely just some core principles out there that are truth about the way we are in our creation as men and women, and how we interact, how we have interpersonal relationships. There are core principles that just do apply to everybody based on your being a man or a woman. However, the details, that's not what I'm interested in when I write. I don't want to say the details, because the details are for you and God and the other person to fill in. Excuse me. There are things that I like to present that are just food for thought. So the book will address things like primarily about you and your process of becoming, you know, becoming the person that your future spouse is looking for. And you know, it doesn't address things like if you dress in plaid suits as a man, you know, women really like that. Or, you know, women, if you just stop talking, you know, men will be more attracted to you. You know, I don't do that. It has to do with just core principles that make up how men and women interact, but mostly in the sense of, you know, who am I? Who am I that I would think that somebody out there who is a lovely person and would be a good, who is a good Catholic, would make a good spouse, why would they be interested in me? What do I have to offer? So the book goes through food for thought aspects in that direction, and hopefully will take the reader into prayer and then, of course, into action to evaluate themselves and then apply it in the specifics that only they could know about. Only they can know, and maybe their close friends, if they talk to them about it, you know, they can take these four principles and then apply it, the specifics, based on how they interact with others.
Now, you are married at this time. I've heard you mention that on Lino Rulli's Catholic Guy Show on Sirius XM, Catholic Channel 129, many times. Did you find that it was harder to write a dating book being, you know, so far out of that state of life on your end, or is it easier to do that because you are married?
No, it really has nothing to do with me being married or not married, Dustin. It has to do with the fact that my business, okay, my calling, if you will, my avocation, my apostolate, the work that I have been fortunate enough, very blessed to do based on the gifts that God has given me, is to work with single people, and I've gotten to know many common denominators about how men and women, especially who are Catholic specifically, interact with each other how they have failed, how they have succeeded. What I bring to the table for people now after 15 years of doing this work is experience, just like anything else in life. You know, you have an authority to talk about, you know, radio and broadcasting and things like that because you've done it. I have an authority on this, not because I'm married or not married, just simply because I've worked with so many, much like a doctor, a psychologist would do, you know, with patients. If you work with person in a certain field for a long time, you get to know how things go for the most part. And then, you know, like I'm able to size up situations pretty quickly. I mean, never with absoluteness, but just in a sense, so that I can give people now pretty quickly some food for thought to walk away with that'll be helpful for them as they think about themselves and their dating experiences. And it just comes from, I've heard so many stories, so many situations, both from men and women, you know. So I think it's not unusual for somebody who's just done a certain thing for a long time to just know how to know what they're talking about, you know.
Right. Were there any unique dating experiences that you had that helped make the book easier to write? Were there any experiences in your own life that you were able to draw on before you met your wife?
Well, probably not so much in the before sense, only I think mostly in the area of what it feels like. I know what it feels like to want to be in your vocation so badly that you can taste this, you know, and your prayer. I know what it's like to pray hard for God to bring someone into your life that you can give yourself to because you're ready to make the commitment to marriage and have a family. And when it's not happening, I know what it feels like to be frustrated. And, you know, a lot of starting the website, Ave Maria Singles, was based on that. I wanted a place where people could network with others of like minds so they did not have to struggle so much like I did in finding places that you could meet somebody like that. And then after marriage, what I found is that a lot of my own situation, I learned a lot as I would work with single people, and then I've worked with married people too, but in my own marriage, I would understand a lot of the dynamic that I could apply certain things to my work. But believe it or not, mostly in the area of failures, you know. I could say that I mostly know not what to do than what to do, you know, because I'm sure you too, as a married man, you know now, us married people know that, you know, we don't set out to fail our spouse or hurt them or what have you, but we do, you know, and our families, our children as well, and you spend a lot of time doing repair work, you know, and it's very valuable to learn from those lessons and to share them with others. I'm fortunate enough to be able to share my lessons with others in a context of just kind of knowing so many others who've had experiences, you know. And I've learned the common denominators as well as how to understand what it is a unique situation. Because everybody's marriage, everyone's dating experience is unique, because you're dealing with two unique individuals. So it's not for me or you to ever say, oh, your relationship is falling apart or it's great, because I know this works for me, so it must for you, you know? So I don't do those kind of things. I like to lead people to principles that are truths and objective and help them to realize what's subjective and what they can work on, and then hopefully give them things to bring to prayer and to discussion with the people that they're dating or married to talk about.
I was listening the other day on the radio on one of the comedy channels on Sirius XM, and I heard Joe Rogan doing some stand-up comedy. And very, very funny, and I can't repeat any of this because, you know, God forbid we have any profanity on Catholic podcasting. But he mentioned something that is so true. He was goofing on the women who set out somehow to change the person they're dating, you know, be it their looks or their personality or something like that. And it seems like that's something that you and Joe Rogan would probably agree on. You should probably be working on yourself instead of that other person in your relationship. Otherwise, you're just going to be miserable and frustrated.
Yes, that is a lot of what the book is about, is to work on yourself. You know, don't be so anxious to work on the other person. That person has their own journey, and you should not be looking for somebody to change or who will just stay put as they are. You're dealing with an organic human being, okay? Organic mm-hmm. in a sense that it's always growing, always changing. Human being in that they have their own dignity, their own they're their own creation before God. You should be looking for someone who will be your companion, your helpmate, someone suitable for you. And if you think there's something that you really have to make a project out of them, because, oh, one day I'll change them into becoming a Catholic, or they'll get rid of their temper with me around, I'll see to that. You know, forget about it. It's, first of all, it's not your job. And second of all, you're going to be miserable because you're putting an expectation on the other that they can't execute, and then you're going to blame them for not becoming what you expected. And that will be your own fault. But yet a lot of people don't think that way. Marriages get in trouble and dating relations get in trouble because there's so much assumption on the other person being a way that you have, in a hidden subconscious way, want them to be. And this is not a healthy approach to finding a helpmate, to finding a suitable partner, a marriage. You're supposed to love everything about them, and thank God they love everything about you, and then you love each other, and you both are going to grow within the marriage and change in ways, and you're going to have to be supportive of that. And if they are ways that are negative, you got to be able to communicate in a way that's loving and not dogmatic and demonstrative and controlling. You see what I mean? So we need to discover within ourselves, first and foremost, if we are controlling people, if we have an agenda. You know, this is what my book is about. You need to discover if you are becoming a person that your future spouse is going to, if that's going to be good for them, okay? And are you on that path, or are you biding your time comfortable in the way that you are, hoping that you find somebody that you can control and change and basically lord over?
I got a short little confession to make. When I was setting up our podcast during the first 5 minutes of the show, unbeknownst to me, your plug for your book and everything was actually being broadcast out to everybody who listens to this radio station. So I'm sure my bosses here at the radio station just love that, interrupting EWTN programming like that. But that does bring up the subject of mistakes. I make mistakes. I just made one right now. And if you talk to my wife, you know, she can tell you a ton of mistakes I made. And I can probably think of a few relationships I had, you know, in college and even in high school, maybe in my 20s. Where the mistakes I had, you know, more or less contributed to my breakup, to me getting dumped or whatever. What are some mistakes that people make? Not necessarily horrible mistakes like cheating on somebody, but what are some good-hearted mistakes that people can make while they're dating somebody that they might think, hey, I'm doing a good thing here?
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen stems from insecurities. So I will start by saying the mistake, in the sense, in the way that they don't realize, is that they are insecure and they have not addressed that issue. And from that insecurity stems jealousy. Are you looking at another girl while you're with me? You know, maybe the guy is glancing at another woman while he's on a date with the girl that he's out with. You know, going in the restaurant, glanced it over. His mistake is doing that in the first place. Her mistake is assuming that he doesn't want her. Now, she has a right to think that. you know, and of course he's not married. I guess in a sense he has the right to look at somebody, but there's a protocol here. You know, there are sensibilities that have to be brought into play here, and there has to be some charity as well. It's like the mistake is that you're dating a human being, Dustin. Okay, these are human beings, so we're prone to make mistakes like that. And, you know, if you're going to be this jealous person and then react, that you're this reactionary person, like, how could you? And your voice is easily raised and you make the other feel afraid to even talk to you or even make a mistake while with you. You know, these breed unhealthy relationships that don't work out, or maybe they do still work out, but they condition the two people to have a system, you know, where you're both your insecurities are creating this environment that's always going to have an eggshell type of situation. So, I mean, it seems like an innocent mistake, right? It's even a little humorous because, you know, guys are pretty stupid this way. They're attracted to girls because they're visual, if you will. All right, so he probably didn't even realize he looked at the girl in the restaurant, but boy, did she notice that, right? So she takes it to heart and maybe just kind of says, that's it, I don't want to be with anyone who's scoping somebody else out. Scoping? Was I scoping? You know what I mean? It's like now you're dealing with two different language systems here, and they start losing the ability to talk to each other. So, you know, those are things that don't find a way back home to a peaceful place because one or both of them are insecure. And, you know, you've got to be able to say, hold on a second, what did I do here to cause this problem? I think we're too quick to say, you did this, made this mistake, and now you must suffer, and now you don't get me or whatever, you know? It's always a two-way street, isn't it, Dustin?
It always is, because as many things as that I do that probably annoy my wife, you know, there's plenty of things that she does that annoys me, and I will not say them out loud because I don't think you should ever air your marriage's dirty laundry in public. But one thing I did want to ask you, okay, I'll just come to you. Say, you know, we're hanging out, and I say, hey, I really like this girl. I want to take her on a date. I want to do something, because if we don't do something constructive, then we'll just end back up at one of our apartments and do stuff that we'll regret later on. I've got $35.93. What in the world can I do for a fun, creative date on that kind of shoestring budget?
$35, huh?
Yeah, $35. We, you know, we're trying to pay off some credit card bills. We'd like to try and get married, and we want to go into there debt-free.
Sure.
So trying to cut down on some of the expenses. So what do I do, though, for $35 that doesn't involve, you know, smooching on a couch watching a movie?
I think if you can get some kind of a box or bag of some kind that you can pack a lunch in, you can spend $15 in an average city or major town or place for parking, okay, to park your car near kind of a park or a seaside of some kind, or a lakeside, or, you know, some kind of water area of a city. Like, like I'm from Philadelphia. You go downtown Philadelphia, there, most parking places are $15 for about 4 or 5 hours. You can park, and then you can walk the city. You have your bag, you know, of food, and find, you know, in Philadelphia, there's the riverfront. Down on 2nd Street, you walk all the way down there, there's Independence Hall area, and there's beautiful park there, places to sit and just relax and talk, enjoy the weather, and have your lunch. And maybe you can spring for some slushies of some kind. I don't know.
All right, now
you can definitely get away with that. But the key in the spending there is the parking, so your car is the place, and then you walk it, you know, that's pretty nice.
All right, well, let's say after I tell you I've got $35.93, you punch me in the gut and take $34. I'm only left with about $1.93 then. What do you do, you know, on a budget that does not exist? What's a good free dating idea that either you and a girlfriend have done, or you and your wife have done?
Well, free dating, you know, again, you're dealing with unique individuals, so it depends on what the interests are and all, because once you start honing in on the interests, there's a multiplicity of things you could do. It depends on where you are. You know, you just got to be creative. I don't know. I mean, I'll just take Washington, D.C. I mean, all the museums are free. There's so much you can do on very little money. But you can also visit friends or hang out with friends or go to places where you can be inside even with a bunch of people. You just have to avoid being alone, you know, you two people alone in one or the other's apartments. I mean, but at some point you got to do that in some way. Like maybe one of you makes dinner for the other and you can be there, I guess. But, some of that depends on the virtue of the individuals. You know what I mean? It just depends. But you can be so creative. I mean, reading, I guess you can go to $2 movies, too, if you want to. It's hard to say. Exactly. I'm big on walking and the riverside type of thing, being close to the water, and there's just so much that you can do that doesn't involve money. But I will say this, Dustin, if the budget is really that bad, you know, you could be in a situation where you're wondering if you can afford to get married at all, you know. I mean,
yeah.
But if you're paying off school loans and things like that, you're going to have to be creative. I think if you get along with each other's family, there's so many opportunities to just visit each other's family because, you know, that's free. You get to learn more about each other because when you're with each other's families, you can be yourselves, and the family members can't let you get away with any masks that you're wearing or any phony baloney stuff. You know what I mean? You can hear stories about each other's past, can laugh a little bit, get embarrassed a little bit. You know, it's really good.
Yeah,
you take those road trips to family members' houses and develop the extended family relationships. Those are great, because then after you're married and you still have to pay off loans and be on the budget and stuff like that, then you can obviously just be, you know, inside in your place, and obviously there's many more things you can do when you have your own place after you're married.
Right. No, I definitely know about some of those things, and I mainly just wanted to give the audience a mental image of you punching me in the gut. That's why you took my money and left me with only $1.93. Before we let you go, I'm married. I have no interest in dating anybody. In fact, being married, I don't even have to try to find a date anymore, which is just absolutely fantastic. So for people who are married or somebody who is part of a vocation where boys and girls and cooties are forbidden, what would make me or one of those people want to purchase your book on dating?
Oh, well, that's very simple. When I started Ave Maria Singles, I knew that the best place to market it was to married couples and parents and priests and grandparents. Why?
Why? Yes, tell me why.
They are the people who know single people and are anxious for them to meet someone and settle down and get married. The single people are usually too busy to help their bottom line. But a married couple who has like a sibling who's not yet married or friends that are, you know, they're always anxious, you know, to help them find someone so that they can enjoy the happiness they have. And parents and grandparents, definitely, they're always praying that their children who are single will meet someone. You know, a book like mine will help them, first in reading it, maybe learn something, but also make them realize that it's probably a sound book that their single child could benefit from, and they could give it as a gift. So I would encourage that, and for anyone who is married or parents, grandparents, priests, everybody knows at least one person who's still single and wants to help them. You know, finding a good book that can help a single person or a good website for that matter, or best of all, if you find a nice single young boy, you know, for your own daughter, you know, come across with us. You know what I'm saying? They're the best network are those who are, who they have nothing invested in themselves anymore, except now they just want to help their single friends and siblings or children find the right person, settle down, and be happy.
When my three-month-old daughter, Lucy, when she turns 36 and I finally let her start dating at that ripe age of 36, I really hope you're still doing what you're doing, because...
But can I suggest to you, Dustin, that if you read my book, it will help you in parenting, because it's all about teaching the children how to become, okay, how to become the person of your future spouse. And that really starts with parenting, and that starts when they're very little. Teaching them how to become the persons that God intends for them, you know. So read the book and apply it to how you raise your children. That's what I suggest.
I'll throw in one more piece of advice in there. I actually started doing this, actually, the first day that Lucy was born. I started praying for my daughter's future spouse or vocation. And what I'd like to do is actually get a little scrapbook together. I did something similar for my wife when I was 15 years old. I started a box and started writing love letters to her and gave that to her. Yeah, it was really nice. It was a long, arduous process. I actually thought about burning the box, because after I was not as pure as I should have been with my body in college, if you can actually believe that a scruffy, ugly dude like me could pull that off. But I kept the box. I kept it going. I actually wrote an apology letter in there to her once or twice for all of that stuff. And so giving her that box, you know, right before the reception dinner with all of our friends and family around was probably the most rewarding thing in the world. So it made me think, well, why should I stop there? I think I would like to try to get like a book together and start writing letters to my daughter and her spouse. You know, hopefully she will grow up and appreciate that someday. So if you do talk to anybody, definitely let them know to do that. It's one of the most amazing things that you can do for that future special someone. Anthony, what are you working on right now, other than your book and your vocation?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Other than your book and your vocation, what projects are you working on right now?
Well, I'm working on a second book. Actually, I have several books in my head to work on. So I'm just at the point where I'm doing a lot of writing. In fact, my blog, which is sixstonejars.com, is maybe the most popular thing I'm doing right now. It has a pretty decent following and several columns of Catholic news places. I use that for their columns on single, for Catholic singles. So I'm doing a lot of writing so I can share advice from all I've learned over these years. And I'm still developing programs, radio programs and television programs. I have my Road to Cana series, and I'm just finishing up my Marriage of the Lamb series, which is a discussion on all the scripture readings that are offered at the nuptial mass as options for couples to choose from for their nuptial mass. Me and Father Connolly are going through all the scripture options to discover why the church picked those readings to be options for the nuptial mass, and it's really a fascinating series. And so I just continue to write more and develop programs like that.
Yeah, I was looking up, as doing the research before our podcast, and I just typed Anthony Buono into my search bar, and ironically, the first result that comes up is a divorce lawyer also named Anthony Buono, and I just think that's interesting. Somebody could be looking up dating advice, and then they'll come across this divorce lawyer, and I'm not going to plug him, although I probably already have, giving him his name and everything. Has anybody ever asked you about that, come up to you and said, hey, do you do that divorce lawyer stuff too? No. Nobody's ever done that.
I've never had that. I mean, I most of the time just people find me because of Ave Maria Singles, and that's what happened. Or there's Facebook page just because of the trips, Ave Maria trips. You know, we do those pilgrimages. We have a retreat coming up this June in Malvern outside of Philadelphia, and the pilgrimage in October, and then our 10-year anniversary Caribbean cruise in January. So these are great ways to meet single people in real life, you know, not just on the website. So, know, I'll be married trip, so I'm a travel agent, too. What can I say, Dustin?
Thank God you're not that divorced lawyer. I'm serious. He looked like a clean-shaven version of you. It's so weird. I would tell you to look him up, but don't look up any divorced lawyers. That's probably the last thing that you and I need to do, but... but no, I'm glad to hear that you're doing all of the pilgrimages and everything. And thank you so much for appearing on the show tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Big thanks again to Anthony Buono for being on the show with me this evening. And next week, coming up on Memorial Day weekend, going to try to have a more gaming-related discussion. It is the 16-bit Catholic after all, so why not talk about some games, especially with the summertime coming up. And if you've got kids, you know that summer times are meant for button mashing. Forget all that outside stuff. Button mashing is what you should do during the summer, or waving a controller around, whatever console you're playing. So hopefully we'll have some really good discussion on that. But again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Go on iTunes and rate us if you don't mind. Don't make it look better. The only rating on there right now is a 5-star rating from my mom. So as much as I love a 5-star rating, I like a little more diversity than blood. But again, thank you so much for tuning in, and God bless. Bye-bye.